Warning, the following podcast contains coarse language and spoilers for the film and the title of the podcast. Now
playing. So is this where I talk about Harry Potter fanfiction again?
Movie reviews in 20 Qs.
Hello, you goddamn fantastic people, and welcome to the podcast Movie Reviews in 20 Qs, the show where we review a movie by asking 20 weird and wonderful questions about it. I am your host, Sam, and I am joined this week, firstly by Kahu, a man who lays claim to the fact that in space no one can hear you scream. Is that true, Kahu?
There's a lot of places where no one can hear you scream, Sam.
I knew it was going to get creepy, and it has already. Congratulations, you've taken the muchy role in this podcast. Well done, Kahu. Welcome.
I mean, thank you.
Maybe. It's nothing to be fucking proud of, bro. Nothing to be fucking proud of. The other person joining me is Liz. How are you going, Liz? What's happening?
Why am I always the second one to be introduced?
Because I always make sure the woman comes second. Oh, hang on, wait, no. Because you're the most important thing. Please, shit before shovel, Liz. Shit before shovel.
Please never talk about woman coming when referring to me ever again.
Happily. Fucking happily, Liz. But how are you? What's happening?
I'm going to have a grand old time. I'm going to be the most cheery person on this podcast.
Can't wait. Can't wait. Hear me faking optimism. Liz, first time watching for you, wasn't it?
It's going to shock you, Sam, but yes, first time watching this movie.
Really?
It doesn't shock me.
Oh, horrors. I don't watch horrors. It's just, anytime it's like, this movie is gross and scary and will give you nightmares, I'm like, why would I subject myself to this? Apparently the answer is because Sam was like, hey, be on a podcast. And I was like, fine. Which is weird. I don't know why I just agree to whatever he says. It's bullshit.
Neither do I. It's quite surprising. I mean, we are wrapping up spooky Sigourney season. So we've done The Village, we've done Ghostbusters, we've done The Cabin in the Woods, and now we're wrapping it up with Alien. I thought to myself, Liz has never seen this. I knew Stacey would no way in hell was she ever going to see this. Much of is as fucking useless as tits on a bull. So got you guys, and here you are, and can't wait. It's going to be great.
Ooh, I'm so pleased to know that I was like, yeah, this choice. Kahu, don't you just feel really special and appreciated? Yeah. Yeah.
Reached out to We Watch the Thing. None of them were keen. So, yeah, anyway, got these guys.
Come on. Yeah. Put out an open call on the internet, you know.
Yeah, Gidget would have been all over this. Yeah, 80s.
Almost. Ooh, 79. Yeah. 79.
80 for New Zealand, so Australia might have been similar.
What a surprise. We got it like 5 months after it came out everywhere else. Anyway, yeah, on to the pertinent details. Everyone knows what Alien is. 1979 sci-fi horror, directed by Ridley Scott, starring Sigourney Weaver, Ian Holm, John Hurt, Tom Skerritt, Harry Dean Stanton, Yaphet Kotto. Yeah, you guys know these people. Veronica Cartwright as well. Almost forgot her. Has a score of 8.4 out of 10 on IMDb, 98% on Rotten Tomatoes, 89% on Metacritic. General plot, the crew of a spaceship Nostromo intercept a distress signal from a planet and then set out to investigate it. However, to their horror, they are attacked by an alien which later invades the ship. Pretty basic plot. I feel like everyone's seen this, except for Liz.
I have seen it now.
Okay, so now everyone in the world has seen this. Now that we've ticked off Liz, everyone in the world has seen this. So we don't really need to go into too much of a plot. But basically, if you are listening to this podcast, we are going to spoil it from the start, as mentioned at the start of this episode. And yeah, if this is your first time listening, what we do is we review a movie by asking 20 weird and wonderful questions about it. We start with 10 that can be applied to any film. We then move through 3 personal questions before finishing on a listener question or a Patreon question. And this week it is a Patreon question. The one we always start with is the sandwich question, which is one thing good and one thing bad about this film if we liked it, or one thing bad and one thing good and one thing bad if we didn't. Liz, I need to know your thoughts. Need to know what is going through your pretty little brain. So hit us. Hit us with your sandwich.
I think that's the nicest thing you've ever said to me, that I have a pretty brain. So thank you.
It looks delicious.
I've been humming and whoring on this.
Humming and whoring?
Humming and whoring? Isn't that a term?
You've been whoring on this.
No, that would have been, I've been whoring. I said whoring. It's a W.
I've been humming
if you don't
and
know
whoring.
That, you're a dipshit.
I heard humming and whoring.
I definitely heard whoring.
That's because you guys are both horrible, dumb idiots.
I mean, humming and whoring on this.
Isn't it hemming and hawing? Hamming and the word is hawing.
Isn't it humming and harring?
Yeah, humming and harring.
I'm Googling it.
Wow.
Okay, it's both. It says humming and harring, humming and hawing. They are two things that come up in Google. So Go fuck yourselves.
I love how perilously close you're coming to say humming and whoring. I love how you're like,
doing the opposite to whoring. So.
Yeah, I was like, that's a pretty extreme reaction to a movie.
Frankly, if I could be whoring, I would. So I don't want to hear any judgment on any part of anyone who is, in fact, whoring.
Hey, have you seen the movie Alien? Why? What, do you want to see my chest for $20? What? I'm going to make your giant white things stick up and burst, bro.
Oh, son, no. Anyway, back to what I was trying to say before I was so rudely interrupted. I have been tossing up. It is just as bad. Back and forth on, you know, what score I was going to give this film.
Back and forth and forth.
How, well, my, look, honestly, would you let me fucking finish?
Yes,
you
absolutely.
I'm shitty. Okay, I've been tossing up what I want to give this film score-wise because, look, horrors just aren't really my thing. But here we go with my sandwich, and then I will give you my score, as we tend to do. My first statement is a good one. I was generally impressed by the special effects, especially since it was 1979. I compare this movie to The Mummy, and it blows me away in comparison. The Mummy was terrible. I will not stand down from that fact. But this movie had actually pretty good special effects. The only thing I didn't really like of the special effects was when Ash's head came off. I felt like that was a little bit shit. But other than that, I thought it was pretty good. Bad thing was how frustrated I got with just the stupidity of people. Like, there are specific laws and rules in place. There's some basic safety precautions you should take in these sorts of scenarios, and they just didn't do any of that. Like, do they even wear safety goggles, for fuck's sake? So, yeah, like, all of that sort of stuff just really pissed me off.
Yeah.
And finally, the twists weren't too bad. I didn't see them coming. To be honest, I thought at the end the cat was going to be infected, given how much of a focus it was. I didn't click that the alien would have moved to the ship. I was like, why is this movie still going? There must be something else going to happen. And then I was like, oh, maybe it's the cat. And then so when it was the alien, I was like, oh, okay, no, I didn't expect that. So it is just a compliment sandwich. I'm giving it 5,225 flamethrowers.
Holy fucking shit.
I warned you, Sam. I literally sent you a message saying, I don't know if I'm the person that you want on this podcast.
I would rather you give it a score of like 5 out of 10,000 than give it a 5,000. That's just, yeah. I don't know how I roll, but
I think it was basically, it was okay, but it was a horror and I don't do great with those.
Nah, it's all good. It's good.
All good.
We're allowed to laugh about other people's opinions, you know. Don't necessarily have to agree with them or disagree with them. It's just
like I laugh at your face.
Exactly. I don't agree or disagree with my face. So yeah, there you go.
Oh, I thoroughly disagree.
A lot of people do.
I'd like to hear from Kahu.
Yeah, Kahu, you're up. What do you got, bro?
Yeah. I kind of think in terms of horror films, like the level of stupidity isn't too bad, and didn't take away.
Maybe that's why I don't like horror films.
Yeah, didn't take away from the film too much for me. But first good thing, I like Ridley Scott's cinematography, like using slow camera movements to build tension.
Yeah,
I thought that was quite neat, especially early on in the movie. It's just sort of building and building and building. Another good thing, I liked how Ripley wasn't really defined as the main character until quite a way through the film.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to know now because I've watched it a few times, but it was sort of leading towards Captain Dallas as the main character for a big chunk of the film. And it was only really till about 2/3 through where, you know, Ripley starts becoming the main person.
It's kind of a shame because Ripley as a main character is in our cultural zeitgeist. So yes. In 1979, you would have been fucking blown away by the idea that the female became the lead. And in a film like this, you would have been like, whoa, what the, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real innovative for the time.
Yeah.
Even watching it, you know, obviously not having seen it, I still, from the first second, I was like, okay, so where is Sigourney Weaver? Oh, yep, she's that one. Yep, cool. So she's the, you know, like I knew that and that was a key thought of mine from the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah. And being a relative unknown at the time as well, like I thought she absolutely killed it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go with a third good thing.
Whoa, hyperbole sandwich?
Hyperbole sandwich.
Hyperbole sandwich.
And I agree with you, Liz, about the twists. And for me, especially, it was the Ash reveal as an android. That was genuinely unexpected.
Yes.
Yeah, I do remember to the first time I watched it, and I was just like, whoa, that was a really, really good twist.
They make him seem so human. I think that's the thing. Like, they make him just seem like an average dude who's like going about his day. So it just comes out in literally nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And the best part of it is there was a bunch of stuff that annoyed me at the start. And I was like, well, this is fucking terrible. Like, why would you, or whatever. And then that just sort of sealed it all up. And you kind of went back and went, oh, so that's why that happened. And that's why that happened. And that's why that happened. So that, I liked that it sort of brought that bit of closure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So based on all of that, I'm going to give this 10,001 alien eggs.
Wow. Only just a hyperbole sandwich, but still a hyperbole sandwich.
Yeah.
Cool. On to me, I kind of swore to myself I'd never do two hyperbole sandwiches in a row, you know, like on two different podcasts, and everyone heard me give Cabin in the Woods a hyperbole sandwich just to piss off Stacey. But but yeah, I mean, I really like this film. It's probably in my top 50 films of all time. First good thing, creature design. Enough has been said about H.R. Giger's work on this, on designing the alien. I saw earlier prototypes. He looked fucking average as fuck. And yet now we've created the xenomorph that is like very much ingrained in popular culture. I will go a bad thing. I will try and even it out. Some of the action scenes weren't all that well shot or put together.
Yeah, some of them were a bit choppy, especially towards the end.
A bit sort of like, oh, there he is. He's standing there. Here's his mouth. Oh, that guy's dead. What's happened? Don't know. You know?
Yeah, and I think they did overuse like that kind of flashing light effect a bit too much as well.
Oh, yeah. If you had epilepsy, this is not the film for you. This is, yeah. Final good thing is, Kahu mentioned, Sigourney crashes. Sigourney goes, like, I'd realised they don't film movies from start to finish. Sometimes they do, but they don't often film start to finish. But as Sigourney becomes more and more of a character, and we saw her, see her emotional development as she gets into this, like, intensity towards the end. Fuck, you're there for the ride. You are absolutely there for the ride, especially the final scene in the shuttle where you discover the aliens inside of it and you just see her just like, lucky star, lucky star, lucky star, try not to wake this thing up. Oh my God, so good. So good.
Yeah, and she's just so believable as an action star in that situation as well, as opposed to other films of the time, like, you know, Conan and Terminator and all of that, where it's just like, hey, big macho guy, yeah. I just do what I do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. As a score out of 10,000, 9,912.
Nice.
It's still a very high film for me, and I probably would give it a hyperbole sandwich if we hadn't done last week's episode, but anywho.
It's a terrible reason to change your score.
Hey, we're allowed to do whatever the fuck we want on this podcast, and that's exactly what I'm doing. Anywho, that moves us over to the first of our Patreon questions. This question comes courtesy of our man, Chris Yenny. Fuck you, the man, Chris. What's his question there, Liz?
All right. He would like to know what song you'd insert into this movie and where.
So when Captain Dallas is searching for the xenomorph through the tunnels, the soundtrack in the background starts going, I got chills, they're multiplying. And then when the alien finds him, it goes, you're the one that I want, the one that I want. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, dear.
I'm trying not to whip myself laughing.
Oh, my Lord.
Would be a very different movie.
Here's my one for you. Listeners, you all know how much Liz loves Blink-182, so I'm going to go with All the Small... I can't do it. I can't do it. I've played that joke too many times. I am going to go with a Blink-182 song. Aliens exist. The opening lyric is, hey, Mum, there's something in the back room. Hope it's not the creature from above. You used to read me stories as if my dreams were boring. We all know conspiracies are dumb. Second part of that stanza doesn't really make any sense, but the hey mum, there's something in the back room makes a fuck ton of sense given that mother is the computer system on the ship.
Mm.
Nice. This may surprise you, but I didn't pick a Blink-182 song.
Oh.
However, I actually picked a song that has been covered by Blink-182, which is quite funny. I am going with the scene where they're all like actually in quite a good mood after Kane's woken up and everything seems to be fine and they're all sitting around having dinner. I thought they could have some, you know, sort of cool music playing from the 70s, but something that felt like it had, you know, they'd want to listen to then. And so I'm going with a song by The Only Ones and it's called Another Girl, Another Planet. I felt like it would be relevant. And when you look at the words, I always flirt with death. I look ill, but I don't care about it. And you get under my skin. I thought that was kind of ironic.
Holy shit.
Just hit that on his face. Yep. Space travels in my blood. Long journeys wear me out. Yeah. Another planet who's holding you down. I just, yeah. There's some nice little
Holy shit.
Perfect.
Yeah. That song is fucking made for that.
Yeah, it's good. And it's a fun song to listen to, actually. I quite like it. So that's my choice.
Cool. That moves us over to question number three. What is it there, Kahu?
Question three. What character would totally fall for a pyramid scheme?
It's got to be Kane.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What kind of fucking moron would touch an alien egg? He deserved everything he got.
Yeah.
Hey, that might be an answer to a later question there, Liz.
Yeah.
Well, that's my answer to this one.
It is. He was up there for me. I was thinking Ash, if he was programmed like that by the company, it was like, hey, you need to do this. Okay. I will totally risk life and limb and all my friendships by trying to shill some sort of fucking terrible weight loss product that nobody fucking wants to make next to no money. But, you know, I get to lose all my friends and family in the process. So, yeah.
I'm sure you're absolutely not talking about Isagenics.
Absolutely not talking about Isofuckingenics. Stop sending me messages about how I need a bikini body.
I'm just saying, you know, summer's coming up and you should think about it.
I know. Everyone's fucking telling me this. Everyone's fucking telling me I need a bikini before I get a fucking bikini body. Jesus.
Oh, God, I never want to see you in a
bikini. Ash getting weight loss products. Oh, they're not working.
Why? Because he's an android?
What is wrong with me? What is wrong?
All right, so who's your pick, Kahu?
I'd go with Brett. He's the guy that dies looking for the cat, eh?
Yeah, he's the guy that dies looking for the cat. Him and Parker as well are just constantly like, we're going to get paid for extra for this, right? We're going to get bonuses for this. Oh, we're going to overtime. You know what I mean? Like, they are constantly looking for money. So, I could see that.
Mm. Nice.
Anywho, yeah. Moves it over to question number four. What's something that you guys noticed that you don't think other people might have immediately noticed?
I'm sure you noticed this, but I don't know if you noticed it immediately.
I did. I totally did.
The diversity of the cast?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like the first thing, you know, when it comes to the table and they're all sitting around, I was just like, holy shit. I expected it to be a table of full of white dudes and Ripley. So I thought that was pretty cool from the start.
The time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
The thing I noticed was when, when Ash is trying to strangle or choke Ripley.
Yeah.
And then Parker and Lambert come in and Parker grabs Ash, and then Ash like goes to, he sort of like grabs at his heart or something, grabs at Parker's heart, but he grabs him on the right side of the chest, like quite far up high right too, rather than like sort of center left where your heart is.
So, and Parker's like,
he's grabbed my heart when he was actually nowhere near his heart.
You're a weird man.
No, that's legit.
Good on you. The thing I notice, and this is one thing that pisses me off about this film, and listeners, you are now going to notice this, and every single film you watch, is when actors in these movies put on spacesuits, they, for no reason whatsoever, could be an answer to the next question, but for no reason whatsoever, they have a light on inside their helmet which shows their face. The only reason for that is because the filmmakers are so worried that we're too dumb to know who each of the actors are inside the spacesuits by their voices. So they want to show you their face. They want to see the face emoting, talking, you know, all that sort of shit. So we see them wandering around this, you know, underground tunnels trying to, and then they find these eggs. They've got lights on the side of their helmets. I'm sorry, if you went out in a spacesuit with a light on your helmet, directly putting down in your eyes, it would probably be the most annoying thing in the world.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not something I'd ever thought about.
No.
Go watch Stranger Things. Go watch any space movie. That's always the case. And I always crack up at it because I'm like, there's no way anyone would practically come up with that as an idea.
I feel like you've been really wanting to get that off your chest for a while.
I have. 186 episodes and I've finally got it out of me. Thank fuck. Whew, I can
Excellent.
Move on.
Well done. Relieved. Good job.
Talking about relief, I've got another one very, very soon. Question number five. What is it, Liz?
All right, what was the most insane leap of logic in this film? And thank you so much for not putting in the word that I don't like to say.
I know. I chucked it in there just for you because I was feeling generous.
And this goes on what you were saying earlier, Liz, about lack of precautions. When they realised the facehuggers disappeared, they just all, like, walk in with no protection really slowly because that's
just
a form of protection.
Around.
Yeah.
Just kind of wandering around.
Come on, guys.
No,
put like a space helmet on or something.
Get the condoms out, guys. Put on some protection here, man. Yeah. Fucking hell.
Or like maybe just one of you go in first and then close the door.
Yeah.
Sacrificial lamb, eh? Yeah, yeah. Sacrificial lamb.
Yeah.
The one for me is that right at the end, we see Ripley self-destruct the ship, and we see her zoom away in her space shuttle, and then we see three massive, like, nuclear explosions. And I was thinking to myself, surely that's going to send about 1,000 tons of shrapnel straight through her tiny little shuttle, right? Like, she's just sitting there watching it, just like, oh, yeah, cool.
Well, I was just more like, why is it exploding three times?
Yeah, that was it as well. Like, how
the explosion generally just seemed way too much. Like,
yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
Yeah, I get that it's a big ship and whatever, but come on, like, that looks like a planet exploding.
Yeah, maybe a nuclear reactor or something, but
yeah.
Yeah, I was just imagining, like, oh, there it goes again. It's still exploding.
I'm just imagining Ridley Scott sitting there going, eat shit, George Lucas. Blow up your Death Star once. Watch this. Three, motherfucker. Three.
Yeah. All right, so mine was with the captain, with Dallas, when he was hammering on the door trying to get Ripley to let him into the ship. And she was like, hey, we have very specific quarantine protocols. And he was like, no, it'll be fine. Let me in. I was just like, why would you in any way think that bringing a dude with an alien on his face into your ship would be fine? This just was the dumbest choice that anyone could ever make. I was just like, what? And also, like, when they took him into the hospital room, they just kind of stood there and they're like, oh, how do we get this off? Should we stick a pen under it? And say, I was like, couldn't you have done this outside the ship? You're not, like, doing hardcore operations here. You're literally just trying to lever a finger off this guy's face. Like, I thought that was so dumb.
Yeah, can't disagree with you. Can't disagree with you.
So dumb.
It's someone who's followed rules and regulations his entire life. Not really. I mean, there's a point where you're like, surely, what the fuck are you thinking here, man? Like, even I've known when I'm breaking certain rules that I shouldn't be, that this is a really fucking stupid idea, and had moments of clarity. And they've had plenty of time for a moment of clarity on the way back with this alien on this dude's face.
Yeah, and I'm like, look, I get it. You're probably a friend of Kane's. I'm sure he's a lovely guy. Minute that guy touched that alien egg, too bad, so sad. Dump his body on the ground and GTFO.
Absolutely. And that moves us down to question number six, which is also a Patreon question, comes courtesy of our man Dan Brennick of the Netflix and Swill podcast that covers all things Netflix related. I will be on later in the year to discuss The Witcher. Cannot wait for that. It's going to be awesome. Anyway, what's this question there, Kahu?
Yeah, thanks, Dan. Question six, what character was the true MVP of this film?
And we're ruling out the lead, so Sigourney is off the table because I think, fuck, everyone's going to take her. So I'm going to go with Jonesy the Cat. Jonesy the Cat manages to have several run-ins with the alien without dying. That guy knows what's up. And me and Kahu briefly talked about it. Yes, we broke the podcasting rule, but we kind of suspect that Jonesy and the Cat might have been in cahoots with the alien.
Yeah.
He was...
Yeah. That knowing look.
Knowing look.
Of that cat.
I thought he was infected. Yeah. It would have been a great thing for Alien 2. I have no idea what the plot is of Alien 2, but hey, that would have been great. She gets home and this cat just like thing this comes out of this cat and starts like terrorizing New York.
Yeah, that is the plot of Alien 2.
Wow, I'm
Are
like,
you serious?
Psychic.
Alien cat.
Is it really?
No.
Alien cat hybrid.
I was so excited. I was like, I'd watch that. Actually, no, I wouldn't.
Yeah. But the way he just stares at Brett, just
yeah, yeah.
When Brett's dying, I'm like, that cat is in this, man. But he's a survivor. He ain't going to give up. He'll keep surviving.
Okay, well, I chose Parker because I felt like it was pretty good that he was standing up for himself about allowances and making sure he was getting what he was due. And he was ready to take on the alien, even though he wasn't like a soldier or whatever. And he was trying to protect Lambert at the end. And this was a very hard question to answer if I wasn't allowed to choose Ripley. So I'm
absolutely
choosing Parker.
Yeah, no, Parker was the man.
I mean, if you can't choose Ripley, the other MVP has to be the alien.
Like, that's true.
The alien kills six of them. Ripley only kills one of them. So
yeah, he went
alien
six
wins.
And one. He was going pretty good.
Yeah.
And it really, like, it was pretty impressive how it went from like this creepy little chest worm in the space of like, what, 12 hours turns into like this huge monstrous xenomorph thing.
Yep.
I was
yep.
just like, fully mature and intelligent. I was like, I call bullshit.
Yeah, I wonder how long they live for.
I reckon they sweat themselves to death within about 24 hours, man. Holy shit, that thing was glistening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ooh, alien sweat. Probably better than its blood. Like, I mean, if the blood is acidic enough to cut through three floors of the spaceship, what did the sweat do?
We see the sweat and it seems to be fine. So it just seems to be fluid that's come from internal vessels. So who knows what its jizz is like?
There's a lot of fluids in this. Like, there's the bit where is it Brett stands. I straced past that because I was like, oh. But like, it's a bit where Brett's just standing under the water dripping down. And I was just like, dude, you've just seen that acid will eat through the shit. Yeah. How do you know that there's not going to be like some terrible thing in this? And then the same thing where Della sees that blue goo. He's like, ooh, what is this? Oh, look at this.
Yeah, yeah.
The fuck, guys? I mean, use some common bloody sense.
That was a weird time he picked for a moment of contemplation.
Mm. I was like, is that a really good choice?
Turns out it wasn't.
Yeah, pretty much.
So go alien, I guess.
Yay, alien. Anywho, moves us over to question number 7. What is the biggest dick move in the movie?
It comes out of two words for me. Crew expendable.
Yeah.
The choice the company made, and also that it was for alien technology that probably would have fucked up the entire planet on arrival. Like, there's just no social responsibility there.
Yep.
We all had Ash and his fucking agenda.
Yeah, well, and specifically what we mentioned before about Ash letting Kane back into the ship. Total dick move.
To me, it wasn't Ash. Ash is just an android. He doesn't do dick moves. He's got no, you know, rational thought.
Okay, well, he's got no dick.
It's the company. You don't know.
Yutani Corporation, then.
Yeah, I mean, I had Ash as well. I mean, aside from Jonesy the cat watching Brett die and just laughing his head off. Yeah, that was the only other one. There's nothing else really that's much of a dick move in this.
Oh, well, actually, Dallas overriding, trying to override Ripley, I guess.
There is that. Mm. Yeah, there's a couple of minor ones, but nothing compares to Ash.
Yeah, one thing that really stood out to me, actually, was like the theme of capitalism right through the movie, like the whole concept of, you know, it's all about the profits and they're all trying to get their allowances. And, you know, like, I just thought it was really interesting to see a space movie that was just really about just a company. As screwing over their employees. Like, you know, usually with space movies, it's all very, astronauts going to search a new planet or whatever. And this one was just like, they could have been on a freighter ship, you know?
Yeah, there was no like grand mission or anything, you know? They were just on their way back.
They were on a freighter ship.
Yeah, but exactly. Yeah, just in space. So, yeah, to me, that was quite interesting. Like, it was a different kind of perspective.
Yes. Anywho, that moves us over to question number 8. Also, Patreon question. This question comes courtesy of our man, Nick Haskins of Nikolai's Kitchen, a cooking podcast that, it's not just that, it's all about a zeal for life, as mentioned a million times. Stacey will be on soon. Nick has confirmed that. She will be on soon, so who knows? Watch this space. Anyway, what's this question, Liz?
All right. Hey, Nick. Nick would like to know, what type of meal is this film?
It's the kind of takeaways or fast food that has way too much MSG in it. And so your stomach...
Oh, you mean the good shit?
Yeah.
So like Chinese takeaways. Like,
well,
Chinese food.
I wasn't going to get specific, but you're...
Well, that's the fucking question, Kahu. Get specific, bro.
Okay, we'll go with that.
What kind of takeaway? Like what food?
MSG food? Yeah, okay, we'll go with Chinese takeaways.
No, it's like you could be like, Kung Pao chicken or something, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. And so it just kind of feels like your stomach's full of acid all night.
Mm. That's good.
Okay.
I went with lasagna, and I've got no idea why I've written this down.
It's layered?
Thank you, Liz. Thanks for helping me out, because I've got no fucking idea. When I was writing this, I wanted to come up with something that was like sort of like meaty and bloody and all that sort of shit. But there's like a lot to it and leaves you feeling full. So yeah, lasagna. Like it's a classic, like
I was
real
say steak. You just described steak.
Yeah, I know. I've used steak too many times, so I'm trying to come up with something different. And the thing is, like, I don't love lasagna. It wouldn't be my first choice. But at the same time, I can't fault this film. There's a lot of good things about this film. If you said to me, "Do you want to watch Aliens or Alien?" I'd pick Aliens every fucking time. But there's still a lot of goodness in this film, and lasagna for me was like, hit its popularity in like the 70s or 80s and whenever Garfield was popular. So it's like kind of around the time that this and its sequel hit its popularity as well. So that's what I'm going for. That's why I'm going for lasagna.
I fucking love lasagna. How could anyone not love lasagna? You're weird.
I don't like foods like this that just make you feel way too full. Don't get me wrong. Love a good lasagna. But I like if you said to me, do you want to have lasagna now? I'd be like, no.
I'll have a lasagna now. Anyone want to see me a lasagna? I will eat lasagna.
Thank you for listening to our podcast, Movie Reviews in 20 Qs. We are now losing a guest. She is eating her hand. We can see you, Liz. And she's off. And bye.
I was just like, that's a meal I would eat. A meal I wouldn't eat is mushroom risotto, which is what this film is, because it's appealing and filling to some, but there are bits where I wanted to throw up.
I don't eat mushrooms, so I am with you. I ate mushrooms once in Amsterdam. I had a very horrifying experience afterwards.
Different context. And I had a great time having mushrooms in Amsterdam. We went to McDonald's, and the guy working there, I swear, he had a baby's head on an adult's body. It's the weirdest fucking thing in the world.
Stop describing my dreams, Liz. This is the type of shit I wake up screaming from in the middle of the night. I don't need more fuel.
Bad dreams. You do not want to see mine. I actually thought I would have nightmares after this film, but instead I dreamed about Draco and Hermione.
Oh, God, fuck. Move on. Question number 9. What's question number 9, Co?
Well, let's not go any further into the details of that dream. Question 9, what quote would be the worst to hear after sex? That's a terrible segue into that question.
Segue!
Something Anywho. About wands in a knot, I don't know. Go on.
Jesus fucking Christ, we actually are going to end the podcast, listeners. And I don't mean end this episode, I mean end this podcast. We're done. Thank you for all your patronage. Thank you for everyone that supported the show over the years.
Oh, but the good news is we're going to start a new podcast where we discuss Draco and Hermione fan fiction exclusively.
Yeah.
If you want to become one of the 6 subscribers that Liz is going to get over the next 27 years.
Yeah. When people I'll say like and subscribe to their podcast, for this one, we really, really mean it.
Yeah. Anywho.
All right, Sam.
I do have an answer. My answer was, I've heard enough of this and I'm asking you to pull the plug.
Parker's talking to Kane. Anybody ever tell you you look dead?
I thought that one might come up. That's one of mine.
That's a good
Anyone
one.
Ever tell you you look dead, man? Yeah, that's not ideal. My other two were, this thing bled acid.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. That's pretty fucking terrible.
And my other one is, I ain't drawing no straws. I'm forgetting that goddamn thing right now. Parker was good. Parker gave a good couple of quotes.
Parker was good. There was one line back to him by Sigourney, which was, why don't you just fuck off?
Oh,
like,
yeah. That was kind of around that time where she started becoming the primary character.
Yep.
That's less the worst thing to hear after sex and more the thing that you two both hear after sex every time, let's be fair.
Stop fucking watching your webcam footage.
Stop putting it on the internet.
You think I have a choice?
Yeah, your baby monitor's not for that,
Stacey,
Sam.
Which I'm not okay. I'm not okay about being mean about Stacey.
That moves us down to our second to last Patreon question. This question comes courtesy of our amazing friend, Emily Higgins of the Tasteless Podcast. Podcast which compares two films, one that's universally beloved, you know, won Oscars, all that sort of shit, compares that to a film that she doesn't think gets the love it deserves. She's going to be on an upcoming episode with Machu. Machu's called her out and said, I want to do a Sandra Bullock film with Emily. Emily, I don't know if you know what you're walking into.
I want to do that.
But tough shit, Liz. Machu, Emily, and me are going to do Demolition Man.
Oh, yes. Great.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah. Demolition Man. I feel like Machu's going to be the Demolition Man, as in he's going to demolish everything that's great about Sandra Bullock. So,
I mean, it's quite potentially the perfect film for Machu to do.
Well, every time we go around to his house, he does have 3 seashells in his toilet. And we ask him what he uses them for, and he goes, don't have any, was he in a Demolition Man? And he kind of talks like Sylvester Stallone as well. Give him half a bottle of bourbon and he talks like Sylvester Stallone. This is going to be great. This is going to be amazing. Anywho, her question, what movie would you pair with this film for a double feature?
I am going with Avatar, because it's a movie where humans are the asshole aliens. But Sigourney Weaver is still the good guy.
Yeah, James Cameron as well. James Cameron directed the sequel to this film and he directed Avatar. So a bit of tie-in. Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Ad Astra for me. No real reason. It's a space movie. They float through space.
I love Ad Astra, but my God, it's fucking boring.
I like the cerebral nature to it.
Yeah.
He's basically saying he's smarter than you. If you weren't sure, Sam, I know how dumb you are, so I wanted to help.
I'm so above this conversation that I'm just letting you little peasants play out your little roles so that you feel better about yourself. So we're all good. We're all good. The one for me is I'm going to go with another film from 1979 called Being There. If people haven't heard of Being There, it stars Peter Sellers, and it's pretty much Forrest Gump before Forrest Gump was a thing. It's about a guy who's lived inside a house his entire life, and then one day the owner of the house dies and he basically gets kicked out into society and he knows nothing about society. He's just been a gardener inside this dude's house for his entire life, and he just goes from situation to situation and they get crazier and crazier. It's legitimately like Forrest Gump, but even better.
And it's the only tie, and the only reason is because it's from the same year?
Same year, yep. And the thing is, like, this is quite a dark, brooding horror film, and I wanted a black comedy, so I'm going to go with something that's a bit contrary to the other one. So, yeah, there we go.
Cool.
Nice.
And now we're on to Liz. What's your questions, Liz?
All right, question 11. So, Kane touches the egg, which means the creepy space alien jumps on his face, and then that's how the space alien gets into the ship, because they bring Kane back. How would Ash have got that alien on the ship if Kane had not touched the egg?
Okay, are you guys familiar with keystring?
With what?
Oh, son. But no, but Ash didn't go. Like, did he? He wasn't even on the thingy. He stayed on the ship.
It's a good point. That's a good point. But are you guys
familiar
with keystring?
Was he going to use the Imperious curse?
I don't know. I don't think. Did he know everything was on that planet? Like, maybe he didn't think that they were going to get attacked so quickly. Maybe he thought he had time to do some shit. I don't know. I feel like I'm sitting with Kahu's answers now, given that Kahu's staring at me with a weird little smile he does when he wants to seduce me. So here we go. What do you got, Kahu?
I don't know. Maybe he sent a drone or something to something boring like that to go in and check it out. And then when he saw the eggs, he got the drone to come back, pick up the cat and take the cat in to get a face hugger. It would have been like a whole cat hugger.
Hello, egg. I'm talking to you through this drone. Please impregnate this cat.
Oh dear.
That's the first contact for you.
Well, I mean, I guess because, you know, the little thing emerging from the egg isn't going to know it's a human, surely.
Yeah, like
it has to be some kind of life form that's triggered it. Yeah. Although sort of alluded to the fact that maybe when they go through the mist, that sort of triggers everything.
I feel like the proximity, it's like
wakes it up.
It's sort of, like it's them walking around, it sort of like triggered the fling. Like, oh shit, there's
like a
around,
heat,
there's food
a
around
source.
Here.
Heat source type thing.
Not food, but there's a body to create symbiosis inside. So, yeah.
Yeah. Cat's a mammal, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
I did think, you know, you're talking about bringing drones in. Well, I really noticed that they just couldn't even imagine what computers would look like other than the computers they had. Like, all of the computers are quite simple and they've just got like the buttons from planes and stuff. There's nothing
There's one that
really
looks like
futuristic.
A typewriter.
yeah. There's ones where it's just got all these like yellow buttons but nothing on them. I was like, I'd be like, what's the point of these? What are these going to do? And in the mother room and all the lights light up around the room, I was like, what are the point of those?
Yeah, that was
like,
weird.
There's no actual messages or anything. They just light. I mean, it looked cool, but I was like, this is pointless. So yeah, they wouldn't have even thought of drones. They're not smart enough. But okay, I'll allow it. Question 12. What is the main lesson that you took away from this film?
If some weird-looking shit wraps itself around my face and then eventually gets off and I wake up feeling fine, I should probably do myself a favour and blow my head off.
Legit.
Yeah.
Could you do that anyway?
Jesus Christ!
I think this film just clearly scared a whole bunch of people off from trusting doctors during COVID. I mean, why would you trust a doctor to say it's all okay, you know, that thing on your face, it's fine.
Yeah, wear a mask. Fuck no, I've seen where this goes.
Well, and you see those people walking around that have those face hugger masks too.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a thing.
Oh, do they? I haven't seen that.
Yeah, they do. I've got to say, talking about true MVPs, it was pretty amazing for Kane to actually wake up and wander around with this giant fucking thing inside his stomach, growing at an exponential rate for as long as he did. You know, like, oh yeah, I feel like shit. Oh, you know, like I've got a hangover type thing. Oh, I feel like I'm all right. And then just...
Yeah, and like, I'm like, oh, well, you know, I'm feeling a bit of pressure in my chest. You know, something's a bit weird and moving. No, none of that. Just, oh, have you got any chips?
Exactly.
Weird reaction, mate.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, surely they knew that as well after seeing the dead face hugger was a lot smaller than all the bits that the face hugger had already stuck inside him.
Yeah.
They didn't think that through very well.
Nah.
No. But then I think we've already established that they didn't think anything through well and they were fucking amateurs.
Like, the only smart person on this was Ash. He was the only one. Even when he said, you know, like, I'm not going to tell you chances of survival or whatever, but you've got my sympathies. I can't remember the exact quote, yeah, but yeah. I was like, this motherfucker is.
Oh, that was a quote I considered for after sex.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to tell you survival chances, but you got my sympathies. All right. And my final question, number 13. What movie would you chuck the alien from this film into to jazz things up?
Okay, bear with me, guys. Bridget Jones's Diary.
How?
How? I mean, just picture it, guys. A three-way love triangle between Hugh Grant, Colin Firth, and Xenomorph. You know, like she's writing a new diary. All right, love, ain't it right, isn't it? This Hugh Grant is so lovely, handsome man. Shut me up
not
right now. Shut me up the fucking right now.
I mean, it would just
but
be...
the Xenomorph protrudes. He's got two mouths. You know what they say.
You really wouldn't want to get offside with the Xenomorph, though. That'd be game over pretty quick.
His mouth punches a hole through you.
Yeah.
Could you imagine pissing that off during the middle of sex? You like that, baby? Are you? No, not really.
I'm just thinking the street brawl would be over pretty quickly. When Hugh Grant and Colin Firth are like fighting each other in the street.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Xenomorph comes in and just like bleeds on them and they're like, ah! And just like entirely horrible death.
I'm going with the Lego movie.
What?
So when Benny keeps harping on about building a spaceship, you just go, no, Benny, we're not building a spaceship. That's a terrible idea. Or if he does build it and then the Xenomorph turns up. Still a bad idea, Benny. Still a bad idea.
That's good. I like that.
I'm going The Notebook.
That was my other answer. I was like, what other movie is there a sociopath in? And I was like, you'd love to see two sociopaths rage off against a psychopath. It would be great.
Yeah.
I mean, the Xenomorph would have more personality than Ryan Gosling in that movie.
Which is really weird because he's actually quite a cool dude, I think, but not in that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
The Xenomorph would have been more likable than Rachel McAdams as well.
Yeah.
And she's also pretty cool. Just
I know.
Not in that movie.
If people want to hear our thoughts on that film, a film in which I infamously gave it no score, search out The Notebook. It's quite a fun episode, eh, Kahu?
I'd say it's probably in our top five episodes.
It is. And it's also one of our most listened, which is quite surprising. So,
why is it like our best episodes are the ones where we're just complaining incessantly about a film and like give it really low scores?
We actually were on a bit of a roll at that point. I think we did that and then Baywatch, and then there was something else in there as well.
Love Actually.
Yeah, we did bunch all in a row.
Don't rip on Love Actually. Okay, there's a lot of problems about Love Actually, but I still like it.
We list all the problems.
Yeah, we did. There are plenty.
Anywho, that moves me over to my questions. The first of which, how many layers of pants do you guys reckon you guys would shit through if you saw someone get chest bursted? And one of the reasons why I bring this up is infamous piece of trivia for this film. None of the cast knew what was going to happen to John Hurt. So they were all in there watching this. And then their reaction is true reaction. So the director, I think, Ridley Scott, I think, said to them, oh, you know, something's going to happen to them. And then, like, the shot of them all backing away, like, what the fuck is that? Legit. They had no expectation of that.
I think they knew something was coming out of his chest, so they were aware for that. But they weren't. They weren't prepared for the like all the gore that went with it.
Yeah, they thought it was going to be the blood spot. So they were like, oh, it's done. And then they doubled down and were like,
pfft. Yeah, so the actor that played Lambert actually like had a real meltdown when that happened. So when you see her reaction in that scene, it's like she went inconsolable for a bit.
I just love how Parker has like a what the fuck, and Sigourney is just like legitimately terrified.
See, I'd just be super chill. No, I'm kidding. I'd actually have a heart attack and die. I couldn't even watch the scene as soon as I realised that this was the scene where the thing comes out of the chest and like the bloodstains on the shirt. I went, ooh, I know what's going to happen here. Yeah, nah. And just like looked away. I was like, oh, okay, it's going to get and like covered my eyes. So I was like, yeah, okay, I think the gross is finished now.
Oh,
no, thank you.
And then you see when the things come out, you see his hands in the background going like, oh.
Yeah.
All twitching.
Oh, so
how many layers then, Liz? What are you saying?
No, I'm dead. I would
just
die
dead.
Immediately.
Okay,
just
dead.
That's it. Like, just heart attack. Like, holy. Yep. I can't even watch, like, the surgery scenes in Grey's Anatomy. Okay? And I know those are going to be coming, and it's a perfectly normal, like, human thing. An alien coming out of someone's chest, that's a whole nother ball game.
Okay, what about you, Kahu? How many layers?
I just had many, many pants. All the pants.
All the pants?
How many pants do you wear? Like, I'm like, two? Because that's how many I wear?
I just wanted you to picture you had 10 pairs of pants on and how many layers you think it would get through. Because
I mean, it depends. If you had, like, wet weather pants right on your skin, then they probably wouldn't get through. But I don't know who does that.
Some, like, coveralls that you wear at the farming shed to stop yourself getting shit all over you. Yeah.
Commando in your rain pants.
Yeah. At the milking shed, I should say, yeah. Fair enough. Okay, anywho, moves me over to my next question, which is very personal to me. Do you guys reckon she should have gone back to save Jonesy? Because we see at the end of the film, she goes back to save Jonesy the cat.
No.
No. It is a fucking cat.
Yeah. And we saw already that Jonesy is, you know, he's got some weird alter ego going on here when it comes to the crew. And worse than that, Jonesy always runs off. Like, he's not even, or he or she is not even trying to be found.
Yeah.
He just scrams every time.
He's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I love that Kahu's answer is all, here are some, like, human traits I'm going to prescribe to this cat, and that is why I would not save the cat. And I'm like, no, it's a fucking cat. Like, she needed her arms to operate the flamethrower properly. And also, the cat's going to use up some of her precious oxygen in the shuttle. And, like, what was it doing on the fucking ship anyway? The poor fucking cat. It probably just wanted to stay at home and, like, you know, go lie in the garden in the sunshine, not wander around a giant ship for months on end.
Well, and that's right, because cats don't live as long as people, yet all the people have been in cryosleep for who knows how long.
Yeah.
And this cat's just, what, roaming around?
Do they just eat like a giant sack of cat food?
Really?
Like,
yeah, it's cryosleeping as well.
What?
But honestly, when it came
it's
out,
it's a little, like incubator thing.
Yeah, but we see her take her into the cryosleep. She's in, Jonesy's in Aliens.
At the end.
Oh, yeah.
At the end, she puts it in. But, like, at this, do we see the cat before the cat jumps out at them and is like, boo, I'm a cat?
I don't know.
Because I don't remember seeing it. I was just like, what the fuck is a cat doing here? That makes no sense.
Horror movie trope, 101, to have a cat just jump out, randomly scare the fuck out of everyone.
Yeah, never mind you're on a goddamn spaceship. I just hate all that sappy animal shit in movies. Okay? It's just not my thing. There's and in so many movies, like, this animal does this cute thing and then it, like, lives and everyone's like, oh, and I'm like, oh, fuck off. Such a miserable bitch.
Yep. There's one ginger that I'd save, and it's definitely not that ginger
cat.
Fuck the cat. Yep. I'm not a cat person. Definitely wouldn't go back to
Ginny Weasley?
Cat. No. Anywho, let's move us over to question number three. Which one of the Nostromo deserved to die the most? I loved how I started this question. Originally, it was just like, which one of the Nostromo deserved to live? Mark that. Which one of them deserved to die the most?
I'm going with Brett, because he was just completely hopeless. He was just wandering about obliviously looking for a fucking cat, and he was no help to anyone, and he was just a big waste of space.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah, I think you need to check that waste of space, because Lambert is the deserved superstar of needing to die in this movie.
Absolutely.
She's useless.
No, she lived longer than Brett.
Well, that's true. She did. And she's actually one of only three of the actors in this film still alive. But she's supposed to be the navigator. They kind of don't really know where they are. She's useless and complains for almost the entirety of the film. And then even worse, she throws Parker under the bus at the end, where she drops all those canisters as loudly as humanly possible. She's just hopeless. It's like,
not to mention, she stands there and Parker goes, get out of the way. I can't. Get out of the way. I'm standing here with a flamethrower. All I need you to do is get out of the way. Parker should have torched her, man. Should have fucking torched the stupid fucking woman. She said, okay, get out of the way. Then Parker runs in, shoulders the alien. Here's your chance to get away. I can't move. You fucking stupid woman.
It was just such a shitty female trope. It's that idea of,
I'm so
fragile. And, I get that they balanced it out with Ripley, who was really, you know, just went, no, fuck this, I'll get shit done, even though she was, you know, frightened and stuff. But yeah, Lambert was just such a trope. And I was like, this is so shit. Like, clumsy, frightened and needs a man to save her, and useless at her job, like all of those things. I was like, fuck off.
The only other one I had was Kane, because Kane falls over while lying down.
Mm-hmm.
That takes some fucking effort. Falls while lying down and then starts tapping on a fucking egg. Ooh, and there's some life in here. You fucking moron. What are you expecting right now? It's going to come out and give me a blowjob. Oh, I can't wait. You fucking idiot. What are you expecting right now?
Actually, like, thinking about it, maybe Dallas did deserve to die the most because he's the one that brought it on, the like, insisted that they should bring Kay back in. Yep. He was a terrible decision maker. He'd, like, just, he was so shit. He was a terrible captain. Look, frankly, they all just deserve to die, so I'm glad they did.
The only one that didn't was Parker. Look, that guy was the man. Yeah. He was the man.
Yeah, Parker should have lived. That
Parker
should have
lived. Ash should have died
actually,
as well.
Like I talked before about the diversity, what I thought was really cool at the end was the last three alive were the two women and the black dude. Because usually the black guy gets sacrificed immediately. So I was like, oh, the black dude's going to live. No. No, he isn't.
But he had a heroic death. He didn't die, you know, like a punk sort of thing.
Oh, yeah,
like, he had a
badass.
Heroic death, which is also, you know.
Fun fact about the actor that played Lambert, she was originally signed on to play Ripley.
Really?
Yeah, and
that would have been shit.
Ridley Scott swapped them around at the last minute.
Could you imagine that? I'm going to be the lead in this horror film. It's amazing, honey. Next day, I've been fired.
Yeah.
I've been demoted. Yeah. I've been demoted to this bit role where I am just the screaming female at the end.
Yeah. And imagine where her career would have gone.
Yeah. Imagine if that was a dude. If that was, like, imagine if that was a gender swapped role.
Yeah.
And they just had a dude who was really shit his job, and then we'd be like, get away. He's like, I don't want to die. And you're like, what the fuck? It just, you'd be like, what? This makes no sense.
Spoiler alert, Liz, in a lot of horror films, they do have a dude like that who's a wimpy, whiny, moany clown who does die like that.
I think initially it was written for a male's role, but Ridley Scott was like, I'm open to whoever, and it was Scorny Weaver.
So it actually was going to be just like one chick and a bunch of dudes.
No, I think the role of Ripley was originally written for a man to play it, but then Ridley Scott was like, it can be whoever, and Scorny Weaver was the best choice.
Sweet, that's awesome.
Look at Kahu coming out of the trivia this episode. This is
the trivia.
This is amazing. We don't normally have this.
He's blowing you out of the water. Like,
I know, it's good. I can fucking take a night off. I'm fucking happy, man.
Oh, no, I do love this movie. It's great.
Very good. Unless you're Liz, then it's shit. Anywho, that moves us over to Kahu. What do you got there, bro?
Okay, for my first question, what celebrity would you not shed a cheer for if they were subject to a chest burster?
I'm going
to
get in there before Liz. Weinstein. Fuck that guy.
Nah, yeah. Good call.
Legit. And probably a whole bunch of actresses would be totally fine with that too.
Mm-hmm.
So originally I thought, like, locally right now I'm going with Brian Tamaki, which only
yes.
But then I was like, okay, so who would you do, like, genuinely, internationally? And then I thought, do you know what? Most, if not all, celebrities. I would not shed a tear for them if they got chest bursted. I mean, seriously, what celebrities would you guys actually genuinely shed tears for?
Well,
I don't want to sound like a tough man. I just think I'm emotionally dead inside in a lot of ways. I don't cry, you know? It takes a lot for me to cry. I used to cry all the time. I'm happy to admit that. Cried on the way here, but I don't cry as much in this podcast as I used to.
You see, I cried today, but I just, when I think about celebrity, most of the time a celebrity's death, so I'm like, I might be like, oh, that's sad, but that's it. Kahu, we're just...
Oh, no, I was just going to say, the ones that are famous and are likable are normally famous for kind of significant things that help people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a interesting way to rephrase it. There's no one that I'm like that in love with that I'd be like, that's really sad. Like, even like favorite band, Rage Against the Machine, I wouldn't cry if any of them died. I'd be like, oh, that was sad, but I don't know them. They're not my fucking wife or my daughter or any of my best friends.
Yeah.
Or even
you see people on social media like, oh my god, this person's died. It's the most devastating thing. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
that's kind of sad. Anyway, so yeah, chest burst everyone. I don't care.
I think modern society has made us cold and dead inside, guys.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Watching violent movies like Alien. my second question, what are your top three sci-fi horrors?
Okay, so the obvious answers are The Thing and then this one and Terminator. You know, quite a coincidence that The Terminator and this one went on to have action movie sequels. Mm. But yeah, I mean, those are the obvious answers, those ones you expect. So I'm going to go with three that are sort of a little bit more under the radar, which is Attack the Block, Under the Skin, and Ex Machina, if you class that as a horror. If you don't, Annihilation. There we go. Those are some three.
I was going to suggest Annihilation.
Yeah, those are three recent horror films I absolutely love.
I would like to surprise everyone by telling everyone I've actually seen more than three sci-fi horrors, because when the idea of this question came up, Sam was like, oh, ha, ha, Liz won't even have seen three. And I was like, bitch, I bet I've seen at least three. And I have.
Listeners, I petitioned Kahu. I petitioned him. Ask this question, bro. It'll be fucking hilarious. Liz is going to lose his shit.
Nope. Nope. I Googled it and I've seen at least four. So of my top three are going to be A Quiet Place, which you will know if you had listened to our podcast on it. Cloverfield, which I thought was a pretty cool new sort of take on the genre. And going quite old school and quite Kiwi, I'm going with Bad Taste, which was totally horrific but awesome. Peter Jackson, early days, some quality shit there, even though like it's budget as fuck, but it's awesome.
Yep.
So there, in your face, and suck it.
Name another seven sci-fi horror films that you've seen, Liz.
Alien. Alien 2.
It's called
Alien
Aliens.
3. How many are there?
It's like seven now.
Seven? Ah, oh, perfect. There you go.
Well, be like Prometheus, like, Alien Covenant.
Yeah, I was going to say Alien versus Predator. Yeah. And like Alien Resurrection. Is that part of the list? I don't know. I could definitely name a whole bunch. They're just not ones I watch.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because I have horrible nightmares.
Mean. And my final question, what does Ash do while everybody else is in Cairo sleep? And I ask this because at the beginning when they come out of Cairo sleep, you can't see around the backside as if there's anybody in there, so you only see the three on each side, I think.
All right.
I'd have to look at it again to see if one of those in there was Ash, but supposedly he has no need to, so...
Well, Philip K. Dick sort of best summed it up of, do androids dream of electric sheep, which is the book that Blade Runner, another Ridley Scott film, has been based on. So for that reason, I'm going to go back to his last name, Dick, and say that he watches a fuck ton of robot porn. That's all it is. Android porn all over the place. That's all he's doing, is watching android porn. Even that, or he's acting out his own android porn, he's making his own android porn. Android porn. I've made it this far through the podcast without turning into Machu. Here it comes, full Machu.
He does go straight for the porno mag when he's trying to choke Ripley.
Exactly.
I actually read a thing that was like that's like a Freudian thing, because he's frustrated that he can't fuck her, so he like tries to shove a magazine in her throat like a dick. And I was like, I think you're taking this too far, reviewer person, but okay. I'm just laughing at this because I wrote sexting with mother, obviously, and Android Scott needs.
You've turned into much YouTube.
Yeah. I was like, no, wait, I'm the one talking about the porn. Yeah, come on, they're both sitting in there and being like, I want to plug my USB-C into your USB-A. Which wouldn't work, by the way.
I want my floppy drive. Make it hard drive.
That's probably sexier.
I need to transfer data. Uploading. Uploading, upload complete.
Evacuation complete. Just made me think of Austin Powers. Yeah.
Tell us about your internet browsing history, Kahu. Did you have an answer for this?
I didn't have an answer for this. He probably just like stares in front of them and pulls the fingers at them or something.
Well, yeah, I think like, he just stares into space.
Because he's
stares
a dick.
Into space. That's what he does. He stares into space.
Jesus Christ.
Amazing dad joke, and I beat Sam to it.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Even though he teabags them, he's going to be doing something.
Oh, son. He can feed Jonesy.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? Anywho, that moves us down to question number 20, the last of our Patreon questions. And this question comes courtesy of Nerdrovert. You're the man. You're the man, Jason. Love your question. Absolutely love it. This question is, what part of this film was the perfect time to go for a bathroom break?
I'll get mine out of the way quickly because you guys won't like it. I found the start very slow, and so I would pee then. But to be honest, generally, all of the suspenseful moments, they just didn't really do it for me. I found them kind of boring. I felt that Jaws did it much better. So I could pee in any of the bits where you're kind of waiting for something to happen. Soz. Now you can go and do your nerd bits. Go on.
Yeah, sort of on that same tangent. They take a long time to investigate that ship.
Yeah.
There's a whole series of shots where it's like it's getting slowly closer, almost there, a little bit closer. And yeah, that whole period could have taken off quickly.
My laptop sort of cut out halfway through and I was like, oh, annoying, and went to reset. And I thought, but I didn't realize it was halfway through because I was like, oh, well, they've only just came back from the ship. So it must be like only a third of the way through or something. I was like, oh, no, I'm like halfway through the fucking film.
Yeah.
I'll definitely say there's a bit of fat in the first half an hour, 45 minutes that you could probably go take a pee and you're not really going to miss much. So that being said, it's a very good film and you probably shouldn't miss any of it because, like, as much as it's boring, it's establishing these characters and creating dynamics between them. So there is that, as well as a bit of exposition. But at the same time, yeah, I don't think you'd miss too much if you went in the first 45 minutes. So yeah, that's it for me. And that is us done. That takes us down to the end. Thank you so much to everyone who's listened to this episode. Bigger thanks to our Patreons for supporting the show and keeping things going. Thanks to these two for joining me.
No worries, anytime.
Wow, you say that, but I think it's anytime it's a movie like this where you're excited about it, because normally it's like, hey, do you guys want to do this? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do this? Fuck yeah! Okay, we're doing that.
Yeah.
You know, I'll turn up anytime for St. Trinians.
Fuck that movie.
Fuck your face. Not me. I don't want to.
Don't wrap your legs around me and impregnate something inside my mouth, Liz. I don't want to go through that.
I would only do it if it meant that something was going to burst horribly outside of your chest and kill you in a hideously gory way.
There we go. Listeners, Liz would happily face hug me if it meant I died afterwards. She is a true Black Widow.
In a horribly gory way. You missed that whole part.
If anybody at home was thinking to themselves, man, I'd really like to hook up with Liz. No. No, you wouldn't. There you go. Hopefully that
past
is ruined.
The point of no return.
Yeah, hopefully that is. Yeah, exactly. Hopefully that has now ruined any fantasies for you. Anyway, upcoming episodes. Eternals is coming out in a couple of weeks, so we'll do that. It's my birthday, so I get to pick the film that we're going to do next weekend. That's going to be a surprise to everyone, including myself, because I haven't picked it yet. but yeah, there's that. Emily Higgins, Machu. We're going to do Demolition Man, and there's a couple of other films that are slowly coming out in New Zealand, that already come out in America, that we're finally going to get. So the likes of Dune, new Matrix movie, new Ghostbusters movie, new Venom. There's a bunch of films that are coming out. So we'll get around to them, everyone. If you're wondering why we haven't done them already, that's the reason why. You've got them, America. We had a lockdown, so everything's been delayed. It's been great. Anyway, if you want to get in contact with us, you can find us on Twitter at Movie Reviews In, or you can send us an email at mritqs@gmail.com, or you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Movie Reviews In 20Qs. But yeah, anyway, that's thanks from me.
Catch you later.
It's like a Mexican standoff.
No, you go first.
I was going to end it with, why don't you just fuck off? Bye. Well, actually, I got a friend to come. I see, got two friends. One forgot.
You've never made a friend come, Liz. Anywho, that was you. Fuck, come on, brain. Anywho.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you trying to cough up a fucking xenomorph?
I am.
I've got question mark.
top quality
phase two.
Podcasting.
I have a
phase
question.
Three profit.
Oh, what is it there? Oh.
Yeah. What character would totally fall for a purpose game?
Okay.